welcome to the Cultural Studies Podcast from George Mason University. In this podcast, we will be highlighting the culture and discussions surrounding the work of our students, faculty, and the world in our given moment. Sometimes this will be us doing some spotlights of work coming out of the program. Sometimes we will be musing on discussions within and adjacent to our field. But most of all, this podcast is a way for Mason students to connect to a sphere and engage with conversations happening inside and outside of our university. It is also a chance for you all to see what we're about. My name is May. I am a first-year PhD student in our department. I will be one of the people taking you along this journey. Today, we'll be looking at a reading group established by one of our students, Austin Gallus. Here is a little bit about him in his own words.
So I'm finishing up my time with the Cultural Studies program. So I'm currently finishing my dissertation, which is broadly about privatized policing of social disorder in progressive era in New York City. So I'm interested in the progressive era and the forms of social reformism that were going on in New York, and private policing in particular. So my work interrogates, or it sort of engages broadly, rather, the Committee of 14 records, which are housed at the New York Public Library Manuscripts and Archives Division. The Committee of 14 was this very powerful group of private reformers, progressive reformers, anti-vice advocates who used undercover surveillance practices and a network of relations with privileged civil society and state entities to control behavior and police forms of disorder that existed in New York City's leisure and entertainment establishments. And so I take a Marxist look at this history and that archive in particular to look at how surveillance helps determine social standing and establish liability for harm and determine who owes what to whom. And to look at this history of the co-evolution of consumer culture in New York and of surveillance and policing of unwanted behaviors, which was primarily prostitution, but also race mixing. So this was a form of Jim Crow policing and also other things like homosexuality. And broadly, I'm asking, what's the value of surveillance and of social reform and of punishment to capital and capital's needs? How are they caught up in the value offered by surveillance?
This past summer, Austin organized a reading group on Karl Marx's foundational theoretical text, Das Kapital. Pulling from people at Mason and from the general DC area, this group has met every week since late August to discuss chunks of the text throughout its many interpretations, both from its impact throughout the years and its current relevance in our socioeconomic present.
Yeah, I think it's been a very productive exercise. It's allowed us to do a kind of close reading of Capital Volume 1 and of some of the texts that have, we've sort of brought into that discussion some of the texts surrounding it. So many of the authors within the cultural studies tradition who have written about Capital Volume 1, we've kind of brought in. We've thought about the relationship with Foucault, for example. So we've kind of done this. We've had this nice sort of opportunity to bring different readings of Capital to bear upon it along the way. The other thing we've had a chance to do is talk about its sort of contemporary relevance and whether the categories Marx uses in various points in the analysis, what it might look like to make them more useful in some cases, right? So we're sort of trying to tease out some of the contemporary relevance of Marx's analysis, maybe figure out its value to us today as cultural studies practitioners, but also just as we're trying to figure out this world that's going on around us. So it's given us a chance to kind of think about the present moment through the text. But I think my overriding goal for this reading group has been to just create the possibility of reading groups, or rather to say that I just want to sort of encourage reading groups as a way of bringing graduate students, particularly within the cultural studies program, together in kind of spaces that they curate, and setting up a kind of line of study that's designed for students and by students. I just think that's an important part of any rigorous academic program. And it's one thing that I thought was maybe a little bit lacking in our program. Just, a kind of regular meeting of reading groups or working groups that get people, you know, excited and engaged in various topics that are important within cultural studies, but may not be their like main area of interest, right? That's one thing I think is really useful about reading groups, is you can broaden out your engagement with the scholarship that other people in your program are dealing with or other people at the university.
Throughout his experience managing the Das Kapital reading group, Austin has picked up a couple of lessons along the way that he hopes to bring to the racial capitalism group. He hopes to inspire more reading groups within the cultural studies umbrella, but also throughout the humanities overall at George Mason.
Well, I do think it's useful to have a leader, you know, for every session. And so I've taken on that role for this reading group, and that's been very productive because, you know, it's nice to have, especially in a virtual setting, I think, someone kind of lay out the basics of the text that you're dealing with in the reading group for a given week or a given session, to sort of give the basics of it, maybe bring in some other texts that offer some other insights that aren't there in the assigned text, and just sort of organize the session a bit. So that I do want to carry through. The difference, of course, is that this reading group is all focused on one book. So each week is just a sort of expansion, and it's another set of chapters. Whereas the one in the spring, the racial capitalism one, will be more topical per session. So the trick there will be to keep the kind of flow of that we're enjoying in the current reading group going a bit in that spring reading group, even though it'll be a little more disjointed just because of the organization of it. But the idea is to maintain that too, where you have a kind of feeling of progress from one session to the next. You know, that's very clear in this group that I'm dealing with now, and it'd be great if that could retain as well through the spring. So that's something I'm trying to figure out how to kind of orchestrate.
After having a rather successful experience with his Das Kapital group over the last few months, Austin began to pivot towards what should come next. Inspired by the shift in the cultural dialogue, given the newest rash of racist violence and open discussions of systematic oppression from people of color, particularly Black people, Austin envisioned a new group that could take the lessons he learned from creating the Das Kapital reading group to a highly relevant talking point. This is how the idea of his racial capitalism group started.
It's important literature, right? And it's gaining even more importance, I think, over time as people are trying to kind of square U.S. history with the contemporary moment and trying to kind of situate race and capitalism in relation to each other. This isn't like a new tradition, but I think it's sort of gaining traction right now in light of the current protests around Black Lives Matter, but also just as critiques of certain institutions like prisons and, you know, ICE detention centers and the police, those critiques have been couched in terms of a criticism of a kind of racial capitalism. And so it's no kind of coincidence that some of the biggest kind of abolitionist thinkers are also kind of there involved or drawing from the insights of racial capitalism, which isn't, you know, it's not just one literature. So I want to introduce the idea that this is a complex kind of set of debates around the relationship between racism and capitalism. And so introduce some people to some of the foundational texts that people often cite, and then bring them up to some more recent works. So ideally we'll end with Ruth Wilson Gilmore's new book, which is coming out in 2021. Which has racial capitalism right there in the title. And so it's, and you know, she's an important figure within the literature. So the idea is to kind of present some foundational texts and then explore some contemporary engagement with the tradition of racial capitalism.
Inspired by Olufemi Otaiwo and Liam Kofi Bright's article, A Response to Michael Walzer, written in August 2020 from Dissent magazine, and Michael Ralph and Maya Singel's article, Racial Capitalism, from December 2019, Austin began to piece together what a racial capitalism group for the spring 2021 semester could look like. Whereas his Das Kapital group met every week, Austin's vision for this reading group is more encompassing than just cultural studies colleagues or friends from over the years. Meeting every 2 weeks, Austin imagines this group as something that broaches the cultural studies bubble, but also invites facilitators and participants to run these meetings and choose relevant texts for themselves to bring to the group.
Michael Ralph and my single piece, I think, really was the thing that I read that got me really interested in doing this group. It's just a critical review article, but it's very well organized as an essay. So it's a very effective essay, but also it just sort of does a good job of laying out the complexity of the debates around racial capitalism and of the tradition of racial capitalism. So it got me thinking that actually this was a kind of complex literature that a lot of people are talking around right now, but not necessarily engaging as a coherent singular entity. And so I thought it'd be interesting to kind of imagine what it would be like to design a course or a set of readings around the notion of racial capitalism and see what sorts of theses could come out of that. So those texts that I referenced are sort of getting at the contemporary debates, the fact that this isn't a settled terrain of scholarship. It's a very kind of, you know, again, sort of internally contradictory and very productive, I think, of many different types of scholarly approaches that are sort of broadly situated around racial capitalism. So that's why I thought those texts were really useful. The dissent debate also highlights the political stakes of some of this analysis and the way in which racial capitalism is being dismissed in some respects for, you know, by some thinkers. So it's interesting to see the way in which it's defended as a sort of necessary and important literature that has something to offer that's different from what you'll get in other areas of contemporary historical scholarship.
Currently, Austin is working on compiling the foundational texts he would like to start the reading group with, as well as some more contemporary ones that inspired this whole project.
I'm going to be planning out some of the sessions, and so I've already got in mind some texts, a few foundational texts and a few more contemporary texts within this tradition or that engage this notion of racial capitalism. So for the foundational texts, there are three books from the early 1980s that I would very much like to engage with. Angela Davis's Women, Race, and Class, Cedric Robinson's Black Marxism, and Orlando Patterson's Slavery and Social Death. So I'd like to find some way of working those texts in as sort of foundational texts within this field. They offer very different approaches to this discourse, but they're sort of these foundational starting points that I think are really useful. Then for a set of newer texts or more contemporary stuff, two books from 2019, Sadia Hartman's Wayward Lives, Beautiful Experiments, and Kianga Yamada Taylor's Race for Profit. And then Ruth Wilson Gilmore's Change Everything, which comes out early February 2021. So all three of these books very explicitly take up the issues of racial capitalism, the intersection of the production of social difference and the production of capital, and the way in which violence operates as a certain kind of mediating relation between those two forms of production. These are all crucial elements in all of those texts that I just presented in terms of the foundational ones and the contemporary. And I think it'll be interesting to think about how the foundational and the contemporary are related to each other there.
Austin is still ironing out what these sessions will look like as they start in late January. In the meantime, he is seeking out discussion leaders to help structure some of these meetings.
The discussion leaders, they don't have to be specialists in the field. They just need to be someone who's interested in learning more about racial capitalism. Maybe they've got a few texts in mind that they kind of have engaged before and they think are really significant within either as foundational texts or contemporary texts within the field. So just people who have some interest in doing it, who want to lead a session. So you really only have to do three things here as a leader of a session. You just have to decide upon a set of texts or a single text, even. It could be a book or a part of a book, or it could be a series of articles. So you pick out a few, you know, some texts to assign for a session. You prepare some comments about those texts, whatever they are, what you want to say about them. Maybe plan for about half of the session length to be a bit of a lecture of sorts. And then prepare some questions, some discussion questions to guide the conversation. So it's really more of a kind of discussion leader position and less of a lecturer position. although you could definitely include some significant amounts of lecture as well. So it's a little flexible. What I'm wanting is just people that are interested, again, not people who are specialists in racial capitalism or whose work necessarily even deals with racial capitalism. This reading group is supposed to kind of gather people around this topic who wouldn't maybe necessarily be dealing with racial capitalism in their own work, or maybe are curious about what that literature might offer to their own work.
If this sounds like you, please reach out to Austin.
So people should contact me by email at agallas@gmu.edu. You can just reach out to me if you've got an idea, if you've got already text in mind, that's great. If you don't necessarily have text in mind, but you're willing to be a leader, then you can work with me to come up with a set of texts, and that could also be very productive. So reach out to me if you've got ideas. Again, this is a good opportunity for you to kind of get to lead a discussion around a text that you care about within this tradition or you want to learn more about. It's an opportunity for you to engage with other scholars across the humanities. And I think that's good for anybody, even, you know, no matter what place you're at within your degree, right? So really any graduate students within the humanities should contact me if you're interested. We can set something up.
If you're interested overall and want to participate, there will be more updates sent out through the Cultural Studies listserv and website as the group takes more of a shape.
I want to give them a strong introduction by having them read some foundational texts and having different people who have something to say about those texts lead a discussion. That's the general goal. And the wider the sort of participation, the better, I think, at the level of graduate students in particular. In cultural studies, we have a kind of, you know, gap there where, you know, we don't have a lot of courses that are particularly focused on, you know, issues of race, and, you know, it sort of comes up, but, you know, so that was one of the other elements that I wanted to address within our program, was sort of saying, you know, we can deal with these topics on our own as students and plan out a reasonable kind of reading schedule of our own. And, you know, that's my secondary goal, is to create a kind of space within cultural studies for cultural studies students, first and foremost, that's sort of geared towards discussing racial capitalism.
Throughout the months, we will be touching base with Austin and his group, as well as the texts they'll be reading. He also wants to encourage other groups within cultural studies and the humanities to follow this lead on other topics.
I do think reading groups are important because no matter what faculty exists at the university or in your program, students' interests are always going to be, you know, outside of that. They're always going to exceed that, and they're always going to have their own interests. And I think graduate programs operate better when students are finding out what other members of the department or the program are working on, and where they can share their expertise as they're learning and as they're kind of engaging with various traditions. So a reading group is a good chance to do that. If you've got a bunch of people who maybe don't know how they're supposed to feel about a particular literature, you know, or a tradition, and they want to figure it out, then they can form a reading group and, you know, piece one together collectively. Someone who's interested in a particular text can just say, well, we can do several sessions on this text. You know, it's a very flexible kind of arrangement, and you can kind of play around with the parameters of a reading group in a lot of ways. And that lends itself to kind of creative learning environments. And, you know, one problem that we have across in graduate studies generally is that there's a plan of study, and there's a certain kind of fixed amount of coursework that's possible within a given semester. And that's a necessary component of the how the department or program might work. But it also necessarily limits what you're kind of talking about that semester and what students are engaging each other with. And so it's nice to have kind of social forms of relations between students outside of the university. But I also think, you know, that doesn't need to be at the expense of having these more scholarly focused, you know, research even or reading focused groups that are bringing together graduate students around topics they care about. I mean, I really think that that's crucial for students' own development, and it's good for the culture of a program, you know, and or for a department. You know, it sort of blurs the distinction between who's doing the teaching and who's doing the learning a bit. And I think for most graduate students in the humanities, at least, that's a very important thing to start thinking early on in your graduate studies, is like your own role and the role of other students in your learning and in your development as a scholar.
If you're interested in possibly creating your own reading group, please reach out to cultural@gmu.edu. We are thrilled to revisit the Racial Capitalism group in a few months to see how their first meetings went and to look at the texts that they have decided on. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Cultural Studies Podcast at GMU. This episode was edited, produced, written, and narrated by May Santiago. Special thanks to our guest Austin Gallus, as well as Severin Mueller, Alexander Monea, and Chelsea Triggs. Music is by Daniel Birch. If you like this episode or podcast, please subscribe, follow us on Twitter at CULTSTUDGMU, or visit our website at culturalstudies.gmu.edu.